You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, we're back in Better Than Ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. We have a lot of stuff going on. Went into this day expecting that we would be really heavy on NFL free agent talk, and we will. But in just the last hour, a couple of things have come down that I, for one, am very interested in. One of them is completely off the beaten path. Another one is really tough NBA injury news. Let's get this thing rolling.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
All right, now one place to start is actually going to be off the beaten path. I want to bring this up to D. Wood. We're going to get into all the NFL free agency stuff with Damian Woody, my buddy D. Wood, good enough to hang out after we wrap up, get up today. We had a lot of fun on the show today, as we always do. Hembo is here. Hashtag crew is ready to go. Evan will come in here in a little while. We'll see if he wants to file some sort of complaint against us for the treatment that we gave him yesterday and all of that. So there'll be a lot of fun to be had. But I wanted you to be a part of this conversation, D. Wood, because when I mentioned it to Hembo, I don't think it registered to him how significant this feels to me. And I want to gauge it from you because you're much closer to my age than Hembo is. News came across in the last hour that one of these celebrity fights is getting set up by Netflix. And it is going to be Jake Paul, who is, well, you don't need me to tell you who Jake Paul is at this point, except for Hembo, who doesn't know. But he's as significant a figure in that world right now as you can be. He's fighting Mike Tyson. Mm. And that's getting set up by Netflix. And just the little noise you made there and the face you made demonstrates to me that you understand this in a way that Hembo doesn't. And it's not his fault. Hembo's not old enough. Like, Hembo knows who Mike Tyson is now as a guy who was once the heavyweight champ, and he's been in The Hangover, and he had a one-man Broadway show, and maybe even, you know, the legal troubles and all that kind of stuff. But if you're my age or your age, D. Wood, you remember a time when Mike Tyson was more famous than any boxer since Muhammad Ali. He became a part of the culture in the United States, a part of the zeitgeist in a way that almost no boxers have in the last 50 years. It was like Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard maybe, and Tyson. He was that big. And so for him to be involved in something like this just jumped off the page at me.
Greeny, when I saw it on Twitter, I was aghast. I was shocked. I'm like, wow, Mike Tyson? Like Mike Tyson was just like an animal in the ring. Like, he was the guy that that's who I grew up watching as far as boxing is concerned. And to see something like this being put together, I believe it's at Jerry's World, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Of all venues, like, to have it at Jerry's World, like, it's hard to even wrap my mind around Mike Tyson being in a ring and on that type of stage. I am so looking forward to it. I am so looking forward.
In spite of myself, like, I'm embarrassed to admit how excited I am to watch Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul on Netflix in a 100,000 seat stadium in Arlington, Texas. But I am. I saw Mike Tyson. So in 1986, I went to see Run DMC and the Beastie Boys at the Garden. And Run DMC, while during their show, Tyson comes out. Mm-hmm. And Tyson's just on the stage, you know, and the place went insane. Hembo, when I tell you, the place went insane. He was the baddest man on the planet, as he was described. He was the biggest star in sports. There was definitely a moment of time, and it didn't last that long, but there was a moment in time, D. Wood, where I think he was the biggest star in American sports.
You're absolutely correct. Like, just the vintage Mike Tyson in the black shorts, the black shoes, like coming out in the ring. and literally just seeing like his opponents scared to death of fighting Mike Tyson. Like that, I've heard like my father talk about like some of the old fighters like Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali. Like that's what Mike Tyson was like for me.
Yeah.
Like coming up and watching boxing. So again, I am so giddy about this. I don't even know if I should be this giddy to watch Jake Paul and Mike Tyson at Jerry's World.
Here's what I don't really know. Like, does this conversation, I don't mean us just talking about it here, but does this belong in a sports conversation? Like, is this a sporting event? I don't even know, I will admit, because I don't really follow these celebrity fights very much. I mean, Jake Paul is fighting legitimate people. He's fighting former MMA guys, right? And he's fought boxers. I don't remember who he fought now, but he's fought some people who have legitimate fighting credentials. No one near the star power of Mike Tyson. But my question is, like, is this a sporting event? I assume they're legitimately competing, right? I mean, it's not, I don't think it's being heralded as an exhibition. Like, they're both going to legitimately try to win. Like, my first reaction is, could Mike Tyson, I mean, could he kill Jake Paul? And Mike Tyson in his heyday, and I know he's almost 60 years old, but I mean, Mike Tyson is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. Mike Tyson, have you seen him hit Michael Spinks?
Of course I have.
Have you seen what it looked like when he hit Michael Spinks?
Yeah, 30 years ago.
In Atlantic City? No, I understand that. Did you see him when he hit Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover? You don't even know what that is, do you? You don't know who Zach Galifianakis is?
No, he's an actor.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
And you've seen The Hangover?
No.
No, you haven't. Anyway, well, he hits Zach. Okay, forget about him. I don't even know why I talked to you.
You had to be there.
Bubba?
Yeah.
Are you excited for Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson July 20th on Netflix?
Yeah, well, first of all, it says it is yet to be determined whether it is classified as a pro fight or an exhibition.
So what would the difference be? That in an exhibition, forgive my total ignorance when it comes to this stuff. Like, I don't really know how this stuff works. I can tell you my son and his buddies are super into it. My son and his friends who knew who Jake Paul and Logan Paul were long before they were fighting, they were like vloggers at a time when that was first starting to become a thing. He would be very into this. But is the difference between a fight and an exhibition that an exhibition is more like wrestling, where they've already determined who's going to win and they're following a script? Is that what that means, Bubba?
I think an exhibition is just, they're just not, like, kind of like you said before, trying to necessarily kill each other, and it's not necessarily scored a lot of times either.
Mike Tyson did fight in an exhibition fight a few years ago against Roy Jones Jr., so hopefully this won't be similar to that. That was a little bit during the middle of COVID, and that's actually when Jake Paul kind of came onto the scene. He fought Nate Robinson and knocked him out, and that kind of started his boxing career. So hopefully this won't be an exhibition fight. If it's not, then I think a lot of people will be really excited for it.
Again, I will remind everyone, the voice you're hearing is hashtag Cam, and you're like 26 years old. So
Jake Paul's a year older than me.
Okay, so like you're into this, right? Like this is meaningful to you.
Yeah. I'm not like a Jake Paul fan, and I'm not really a boxing fan or anything, but I know Jake Paul is an up-and-coming boxer who is really making a name for himself. Mike Tyson's 30 years older than him, but he's still Mike Tyson. So I would be excited to watch this if it's an actual boxing event.
You know, it's funny because D Wood, again, you're significantly younger than I am, but enough to remember Tyson. But when I was a kid, like my brother and I would do this. We would always in our heads. Turns out, once again, I was decades ahead of my time. I just wish I could have monetized this. We would sit around and imagine different people fighting and who would win. Like the two really popular TV shows of my youth were the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family. Mm-hmm. One of them had six kids. One of them had five kids. Right. Like we would imagine in a battle royal, like who would win? Would the Brady Bunch beat up the Partridge Family or vice versa? Now, those shows are a little before your time, D-Wood. But like just the idea of two random people fighting each other, in spite of myself, I'm fascinated by it.
Absolutely, because we always do that, right? Like we always, when we talk about sports, we always try to compare, you know, talk about people from different eras. Like, what would they do in this era? Listen, I know this, like, Jake Paul is like he's an internet guy. Like, but he's, you know, like, I got to give him credit for what he's been able to do in the boxing space. But to do that against give him his due. Yeah. Iron Mike Tyson.
Feels different.
Yeah, it's just a totally different thing. And again, Like, I'm in the entertainment. I want to be entertained. That is entertaining to me.
Could you do this? Like, you're famous. You're a former athlete. Like, could you fight someone? Like, if there was a lot of money? Like, what form of fighting? Would you wrestle? Would you, like, what would be your fighting of choice?
Yeah, I would rather wrestle. Like, I'll wrestle.
Were you a wrestler? A lot of football players were wrestlers.
Yes, yeah. I wrestled in high school. So I would rather do that than actual boxing.
What weight class?
Flyweight?
I'm kidding, yeah. We had the same idea at the same time. Okay, let's get to a couple of football things while I have you here. The big story is right now sitting out there. Russell Wilson, is he someone starting quarterback next season?
I think Russell's going to have to earn it. He's not going to be given a job. I think he's going to have to. Russell Wilson, because of the money that the Denver Broncos are going to that they owe him, and teams don't have to commit almost any financials to him. I think he goes into a situation where he's going to have to battle for a starting job. That's why we've been saying we're going to find out how much Russell Wilson loves football because right. It's not going to be handed to him.
And I don't even mean that. Like, I keep saying it, and I don't mean it as a criticism of him or questioning him.
Yeah.
Like, if you were at his stage of life, D. Wood, which once upon a time you were,
yeah.
And you knew you could make the exact same amount of money by playing one more year or not playing one more year, what do you think you would have done?
I would just take it and just walk.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would just look at everything as far as what Russell Wilson has accomplished. I mean, Russell Wilson went, what, in the third round?
Mm-hmm.
Third round quarterback, guy who was undersized. And, I mean, look at the career that Russell Wilson has had.
Yep.
And so, for me, like when I came into the – when I was done – well, when I came into the league, I had a checklist of things that I wanted to accomplish. And so, when I got – I tore my Achilles on the last game that I played, and I remember going out to my family after the game, and they was, you know, seeing me in crutches and in a boot. And I – right in that moment, I just started thinking about, did I fulfill everything on my checklist?
Mm.
And I'm like, yes. And I knew in that moment it was time for me to retire.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's just me. I don't know how Russell Wilson, you know, how he, you know, how his thought process. But, man, he's accomplished like that and so much more in his career.
Absolutely. No, look, and I'm sure you would have loved $39 million guaranteed dollars to take with you.
Yeah.
Justin Fields.
Yeah.
What do you think winds up happening?
I think his career is done in Chicago. I think Chicago is going to turn the page on that. You know, like I think the two spots that are most intriguing is Pittsburgh and Atlanta. But I just have a feeling Pittsburgh is not it. I think that because of the way the Pittsburgh Steelers organization is, they're so loyal. They figured that it was more Matt Canada than it was Kenny Pickett. I think they're going to give Kenny Pickett every opportunity to really get himself going on a new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith.
And then the Atlanta of it, which I love from a personnel standpoint, and I know you brought that up on Get Up this morning, what people keep telling me is the offense he's bringing, which is the Rams offense, right?
Yes.
The Sean McVay offense, because they hired Raheem Morris, and the offensive coordinator is
Zach Robinson.
Zach Robinson.
Yes.
That same offense, that doesn't really suit what Justin does well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've always said, look, you take a guy's skill set and you build around it,
right,
and tailor make it, you know, to, you know, what's best, what's most conducive for you to win. And so, like, I just think that far too many times, like, coaches don't do that. It's always the player has to fit my system instead of creating a system to fit the player. And Raheem Morris even said it in his introductory press conference. I wouldn't be here if they had a quarterback. Like, they need a quarterback in the worst type of way. So you got to explore all avenues if you're the Atlanta Falcons.
If they wind up signing Kirk Cousins, would that make them the favorite to win that division next season?
Absolutely.
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 Hmm.
Absolutely. I just feel like Kirk Cousins, you know, as much as we, you know, we talk about Kirk Cousins as it relates to the postseason, like, Kirk Cousins was having a career year last year. And I think Kirk Cousins would – it's a similar offense that he ran in Minnesota. They're both from that. The both offensive coordinator, both Kevin O'Connell, the head coach in Minnesota, and Zach Robinson, the OC in Atlanta, they basically come from the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that it wouldn't be much of a learning curve for Kirk Cousins at all, you know, making that transition if it were to happen.
I still can't believe they didn't win the division last year. Like, they should so easily have won. They were by so far the best team or have the best players in that division. They just didn't play it, and that's why they need a new quarterback, and they already got themselves a new coach. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. D. Wood, you're the best. Great fun today. Thank you very much, as always, for the two shows. Meanwhile, a little early Hembo trivia for us on the hashtag crew side. What do you got?
Which active men's coach has the most career wins in the NCAA tournament? The active men's basketball coach with the most career wins in the NCAA tournament? That's the question.
And the answer is next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
Evan Cohen tweets at Evco Radio. The three rules to address your quarterback position. Rule number one, find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. There's a genius insight. Who the hell hadn't thought of that? It's not like people are sitting around going, well, we could find a quarterback who outperforms his contract, but I'd rather have one who costs a fortune and sucks. What kind of rule is that?
This is Greeny.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. He is soon to be leaving ESPN Radio because he has now drawn a lot of interest as a general manager for multiple NFL teams. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike is in our studio, and he will join us to explain what is soon to be a book pitch, which is his keys to quarterback success in the NFL. It'll soon be a best-selling book. Anyway, we'll get to that in 30 seconds after this word from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Evan's going to do trivia with us. Hembo, go.
Which active men's coach has the most career wins in the NCAA tournament? That's the question.
So both Evan and I are convinced he wants us to say Tom Izzo.
No doubt.
That doesn't necessarily mean the answer isn't Tom Izzo.
Correct.
Because he knows that we know that he knows
right.
that we think it's going to be Tom Izzo.
Yes.
So you can sometimes twist yourself into a pretzel. Let's see. We'll start with you, Evan, because we can get you on the board here. Who do you think has the most wins?
Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino is mine also. Rick Pitino took a team to the Final Four before Izzo became a head coach. Pitino was in the Final Four with Providence before Izzo had replaced Judd Heathcote as the head coach. Judd Heathcote was still the coach of Michigan State when I was in college. So that's how I sort of did the math in my head. Bubba, who you got?
I am going to go with Bill Self.
That was the other name. Those are the three I had written down. So Izzo, Self. Oh, no one has said Izzo. We got two Pitinos and a Self. Cam?
Yeah, I'm going with Izzo. I'm going triple reverse psychology here.
And who do the guys have?
Jack is going with John Calipari. Brandon is going with Mark Few.
With Mark Few.
That's an interesting. By the way, I just thought of something that may totally backfire for us. Some of Patino's wins are vacated.
No, he did clarify. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I did not exclude vacated wins.
Okay. Sorry. I apologize.
No, that's good because otherwise I think you were right. I think, well, between him and Calipari, I'm not sure.
Do they have any wins?
They may have negative wins in the NCAA tournament at this point. Between the two of them, they have 9 losses.
A lot of closeted banners.
And none wins. Okay. What's the answer?
The right answer is John Calipari. Oh,
wow.
I love
Pineapple
the leaderboard
Jack.
Here. So Calipari has 57, Bill Self has 56, Tom Izzo has 55, and Rick Pitino has 54.
Holy smokes.
That's why I did the question. Wow. The leaderboard is very congested at the top.
It was that close.
Where's Mark Few?
Mark Few has 40.
He has far fewer. Mark Few has just a few.
41.
By the way, college basketball coaching rules, score more points in the opposition. Just coming out.
All right, well done. That's well played. So let's take everyone back, if we can, and you heard the open there, through the mists of time, to yesterday, in our second hour of our show. This was just in my rundown. Evan Cohn, whom we like a lot. Everyone likes Evan. He's a good egg. He's a good host. Bubba seems to be lukewarm on you.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
But others, I think, generally like you. And he tweets at Evco Radio, and he tweeted quarterback rules. Now, I didn't add or subtract anything. I literally just read it, and it had been placed in my rundown. I hadn't pre-read it. But remember, we found ourselves at the end of a baseball conversation. I had like 3-4 minutes I wanted to fill before we were going to get to something else. I looked at this. I said, oh, let's see what insight.
Let's learn something.
Evan Cohn can add to teams searching for quarterback success. And the first rule of addressing your quarterback position is find a quarterback who can outperform his contract.
You're welcome.
Now, Evan, seriously, at what point did you think to yourself, here's a revolutionary concept that no one has considered before, but I will try and get someone really good and not pay them that much, particularly in football, which is a zero-sum financial game, because it does strike me as saying, here's the key to being rich. Get a bunch of money. First thing, go out and make $1 billion. Sell a company for $1 billion. Because if you said, find a quarterback who can outperform his contract, my question to you, if you were my boss, and you're instructing me to do that, you're the GM. And I say, okay, great, boss. How do I do that? It feels to me like that's sort of the end of the conversation, right? We need a little further explanation. So please go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you asking. And I, you know, there was something yesterday that really bothered me when you just tore me to shreds yesterday. How dare you say that I'm easygoing? I mean, that actually bothered me.
Are you not an easygoing person?
I do not find myself to be easygoing, and I'm uncomfortable with me. Okay. I'm annoyed and overwhelmed with myself.
Yeah.
So the only thing that actually bothered me yesterday was you accusing me of being easygoing. So I'd like an apology from
No, I do apologize. Yeah. It was a poor choice of words.
Thank you.
Well, by that, I meant someone who's going to have a sense of humor about this.
Okay.
Because you've lived this, having done radio as long as you have, and certainly I lived it over 18 years of a show called Mike and Mike.
Heard of it.
When you talk about other people, particularly those you work with, sometimes they find it funny. And other times you wind up in a meeting. And those meetings suck. And so what I really meant by easygoing was I think Evan is going to be laughing while listening to this. Not we're going to have Justin is going to have to come down here and we're all going to have to sit and we're going to have a meeting.
Right.
And so that was really what I meant by that.
Okay. All right. Now that we're good, I got the apology I needed about saying that I was easygoing. We're good now.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I say the brilliance of outperforming the contract, which many people have compared to electricity, the invention of. My point is this. Simply asking yourself when you're going to extend a quarterback, like let's use the Miami Dolphins. Oh, we got to extend Tua because he's our guy. Why? He cannot outperform a $50 million a year contract. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to give him a $50 million a year contract. So that in a literal sense, the obvious is, yes, Brock Purdy can outperform making $10 an hour as an NFL quarterback. We understand that. But I think too many times teams get into this place of, well, we are going to extend him because he's here. He's our guy. He's had some level of success versus the opportunity of maybe saying, you know what? We're not going to extend him. We don't care if he's mad about that. We're going to restart this process because this guy cannot outperform that contract.
So I like that. Oh. But I don't think that the way you wrote the rule
right?
says that.
Okay. Well, that is what I meant. So,
the rule is don't overpay a quarterback just because, I don't know, what fill
well,
in
have,
what,
have, have resistance. At the end of that sentence. Have resistance. Do you believe that I think Dak Prescott's great.
Yeah.
You think he's worth a 5-year, $300 million contract?
No.
And what are they going to give him?
A 5-year, $300 million contract.
And nobody in this league has the resistance to say, no, because you can't outperform that. And if you don't, I'd pay Patrick Mahomes $100 million a year. What's the salary cap, Hembo?
240.
240,
yeah.
Okay, so the rest of that, 240 is the salary cap? I'd pay him 230 a year.
Mm.
And if you said to me I have to fill out the rest of the 52 with $10 million, I believe that Patrick Mahomes can outperform that. The whole point of outperforming the contract is enough money for everyone else and how good are you? And the moment you realize you have a maybe at quarterback, you have a nothing.
See, but what your rule does is address the next step. It doesn't address the don't pay Tua, don't pay Dak. Your rule is literally find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. That's the problem. You have a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
The thought is, and actually Orlovsky said it on Get Up, the first time we had a Dak contract.
Must have read my rule book.
So years ago, he said, don't pay good players great player money. And that is a good way of making the point you're trying to make. What you're doing is already taking the next step of finding a quarterback who can outperform his contract. And that's much harder to
right.
do.
Yeah.
Like, how does one find a quarterback who can outperform his contract?
That's step two in my quarterback rules there, Greeny, if you'd like to point that out.
Well, the second rule is draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Mm-hmm. So now here's where I'm going to go with that. Hembo and Cam, fans of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you need Jalen Hurts?
We did not.
And they drafted a quarterback when they wanted one, not when they needed one. And I think that's my example of when you have a starting quarterback to actually still consider to draft one, even if you don't need one.
Right. But that isn't what the rule says. I agree with that, too. But what you actually say here is draft a quarterback not when you need one. So what you're basically saying is if you need a quarterback, don't take one. Just do it at other times. So what you should be saying is don't draft a quarterback only when you need one.
So basically what you're saying is the reality of my quarterback rules is I'm just a bad typer.
Your wording,
yes.
I think, doesn't tell the story you're trying to tell.
You need an editor.
Yeah, I need an editor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you had said to me, Greeny, you know, look at the Packers who are constantly restocking that position. Their former general manager is no longer with us, Ron Wolf, whose son is in the league.
No, Ted Thompson's no longer with us. Ron Wolf is.
My apologies. if I just killed Ron Wolf, I'm sorry.
And his kid's running the Patriots, right?
Yes. Whose kid is running the Patriots?
Ron
Wolf's
Wolf,
kid.
Yeah, Elliot.
Well, Ron Wolf is the one who always drafted a quarterback every single
That's
year,
correct.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Ron, and I'm glad that you're okay. I'm so sorry. I had my wrong Packer president. But anyway, the point of the story is I like that rule. I like always be restocking, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
Take a quarterback if you like him, even if you don't need one. The problem is the rule that you wrote is draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need
one. Can we talk about the second part of this? Because
there's
been the conversation, and it stemmed from your show on Get Up, where people have said, do not – there may be some teams that are not actually ready for a quarterback.
Right.
Right. The Houston Texans, we can look back on and say the last few years, maybe before C.J. Stroud, they were actually not ready to put a quarterback in there because the infrastructure was so bad. Your team with the Jets was probably not actually ready for Zach Wilson. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson would have been great otherwise. But I do think there is – that is not – what we're talking about is not at all what I meant, but we're going to go there for a second.
Right.
There is an argument that has stemmed from Get Up. The idea of maybe there are some teams that are just not ready to draft a quarterback
right.
because you could ruin them.
Yes, but I don't think that necessarily. So what I will say is that if we were having this conversation a year ago at this time, we would have said the Texans were one of those teams.
You're right.
And they drafted the quarterback that not everyone was sold on, and now he's on the trajectory to be the best player in the sport, right? He had the best, literally the best rookie season in history. So what I would say is, if you have the right coaching, the reason the Jets screwed up Sam Darnold so badly and Zach Wilson so badly is not because the team was bad, because they didn't do any of the things you must do for that quarterback to succeed. They made both of them start immediately. In the case of Zach Wilson, they didn't even have a veteran on the roster for him to learn from. I'm not sure he knew where the bathroom was when he started his first game with the Jets. That's how you screw up a quarterback. It's not because your team is bad. So using the Patriots, for example, which is the illustration of this everyone is using. They have a new coach. They have a bad team. All of that. Sure. If you believe... Not when you need one. If you believe that Drake May is going to be a great quarterback in 3 years, draft him number three, sign someone, or keep Mac Jones, let that guy keep playing and slowly develop the quarterback until he's ready. I like that. Don't play a quarterback when you need to. That's what these teams do.
Yeah.
I think the salary, the rookie salary cap has kind of screwed that up. Because I think, Hembo, there's so much pressure on teams to get a lot out of quarterbacks during their rookie contract that they feel this artificial urgency.
That's a great point.
Whereas the reality is you want to develop the next Patrick Mahomes. You can't draft the next Patrick Mahomes.
Well, look at this league in terms of the guys who are great, not all, but a lot, that started as backups. And maybe my addendum to my quarterback rules, which they're coming out next March, my quarterback rules part two,
right,
may actually be number four. Do not play a rookie quarterback until game six or seven. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, right? Like UCLA basketball back in the day would have McDonald's All-Americans that would never play
right
until they were sophomore. John Wooden would just say, no, I'm good. Because we have 75 more of you coming in and have had them. That I think there is an argument that maybe a team that's not ready for a quarterback to kind of split the difference, as you're saying, you still got to draft them. You just don't have to play them right
away. Mel used to say that all the time. And here's where I sort of land on that one. And let me get Hembo in on this as well. I don't think they all fall in one box. Like, I think there were some guys who were ready to play immediately and some guys who were not. There were some teams. I mean, look at CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
He started immediately and he was phenomenal. Look at players that, I mean, Zach Wilson, I think, was ruined by the situation he was in. I think his career is forever ruined. I don't know how good he was ever going to be, but he had to have been better than this. So I don't think it's one size fits all for that. Hembo, get in here.
It's not one size fits all, but Evan's second badly made quarterback point is one that I actually love. If you just look at some of the most successful programs in the league right now, the Packers drafted Jordan Love early, like you said. By the time you get to year three, they have a franchise guy. The Eagles had already had Carson Wentz, but Jalen Hurts was there. They liked him. They took him. Look what happened. The 49ers take a flyer on Brock Purdy, even though they had Trey Lance. It wound up working out great. The Chiefs sat Patrick Mahomes for a full season in a perfect environment. The Cowboys drafted Dak Prescott in the fourth round when Tony Romo already had a huge contract. He's still there. And Joe Flacco was not done at the time the Ravens drafted Lamar Jackson. But by the time they got to the second half of that season, it became obvious they had a better option in-house. It's not a coincidence that so many of the best teams in the NFL do it this way. The idea that we should draft a quarterback high and play them immediately is an exception when it works out, because for every C.J. Stroud, there's a Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson.
I think that's a well-made point.
Those are the teams I consult. I don't know if you know that. All the teams you just mentioned. Yeah. I work with the Ravens, as a matter of fact.
What you just named, generally, are almost all the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You can include Rodgers in that conversation, obviously. I mean, if we're going to even use the older guys. Tom Brady didn't start until he had been in the league for a while. They drafted a guy. He was their four-string quarterback. Drew Bledsoe was there and figured at that point to be their quarterback for another decade. So draft a quarterback. Let's figure out how
we
should avoid
this. So we're rewriting the quarterback rules.
Well, I like the rules. I just don't like the writing. So the first one is not find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. It's don't overpay your quarterback just because that's the position he plays.
I'd love to add the word resistance somewhere in there. I don't know if it fits. We may not. I just think that no team has the resistance to do what you just said.
So give me an example. Who shouldn't do it?
Miami should not.
So what should they do?
Sign Russell Wilson. Or if you're going to keep Tua, you're on a $23 million deal. We're going to franchise you next year. And then you're going to be on a $38, $40 million deal, on a one-year deal. Like, we don't know if you're great long-term. Until you prove that, we're not going to give you that money. Like, the New York Giants, what's better? You can lower the Daniel Jones cap hit. You could bring in Russ, and you could have kept Saquon. And you probably have the same quarterback play. They don't have the resistance to do that because job security is at its lowest point in the NFL, and everyone thinks they're going to get fired. So nobody has the resistance to say, no, I'm sorry, we're still in the process of looking for our quarterback. Because if you're still looking, you're going to get fired. But if you think you found the wrong one, you're also going to get fired.
Can you win? The real question is, can you win in a significant way with an average quarterback, a decent quarterback? See, in order to do what you're talking about, though, your fear is you're going to wind up with a below-average quarterback, right? If you're going to let guys, Mike Tannenbaum uses the expression, let them graduate.
Yeah.
We're going to draft a guy, we're going to play him, and when his contract ends, we're going to let him go. So you might do that with, I guess Tua would be a good example of that. You might say that even though he's played well. I mean, he's actually outperformed his contract, right? He's played better than whatever it is they're paying him right now. But the next step of it, is the one that you'd be worried. Can you go? Can you stay? Or
I'll
can
do whatever you want me to do.
Stay a little bit. I want to keep talking about this. There's more to do with that. I also want to get to a few other things. Huge injury news in the NBA. Stick around. Evan hangs around with us. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
The data do say that Caleb Williams is going to have to play a lot different as an NFL quarterback.
The data do say or the data does say?
Well, data's a plural, is it not?
I don't know. I mean, in this case, it's a plural, but the word itself is not.
Data do or the data does?
The data do not do say anything. The data don't. The data do or the data don't.
The data do say is ridiculous.
The data do or the data
I'll say
does.
From now on, the numbers say.
The numbers says.
The numbers says sounds weird.
Well, so does the
so
data
So does data do say.
Yeah. I can't do a show.
This is Greeny.
You know, I was so happily just doing television, and they said, come back, do a radio show again. What could go wrong? Next thing you know, we're literally having a debate over this syntax discrepancy. Is it the data do or the data does? Evan.
I heard this yesterday, and whatever Hembo says, I'm assuming is actually correct, but also something that no one else would do. So
why is that?
Because you're a Vulcan.
Because you're doing a show with an art history book in front of you.
Data do is correct. Data do is correct.
You know, let me ask you a question. When a player drives in 76 runs in a season, what will you describe him as having done?
Having had 76 RBI.
Of course.
And you need to get out of the room. No human being who actually knows sports has ever used RBI in and of itself as a plural. I know it's runs batted in, not run batted ins. But from the beginning of time, from time immemorial, from back in the day that you actually still live in, which is Hannes Wagner is playing second base for somebody
right now.
Or whatever.
Oh, my God.
The simple fact that you know that alone annoys me no end. But the point of it is this. From that moment till now, everyone has referred to an RBI as its own individual entity, and multiple of them are multiple RBIs.
Here's the problem with this. Honus Wagner began his career in 1897 in Louisville, ended it in 1917, and RBI did not become an official statistic until 1920. So you can't even make fun of me properly.
So You think that's the problem with this?
It should really be R's B.I.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've had this syntax discrepancy debate many times over the years. But if you said R's B.I., you would get thrown out of any self-respecting bar on planet Earth.
Of course, but RBI is correct.
No, it's wrong and it sucks.
Would you ever say ribbies? Probably not, right?
I'm not a big fan of slang.
And yet, you were the same one who said we threw him a wrinkle the other day.
That's a non-official term.
It's slang.
It's slang.
A non-official term is slang. That's what slang is. Slang is non-official terms.
No, but like that is, like in a dugout, that is official terminology. But in a dugout, you're not going to hear someone say RBIs or RSBI. You're going to hear people say RBI because they know that it's RSBI.
No chance. You couldn't be more wrong.
Bubba, how much college baseball did you play?
They call them stakes, first of
all. There's no way in the dugouts they're just saying RBI.
RBI. Yeah.
I think Harry Callis said RBI.
Yeah.
What a great
night. The soundtrack of my summer.
And there's just no way in the world Derek Jeter ever walked up to A-Rod and said, what a great night you had. You had four RBI. NBA action tonight. Mavs Heat presented by Indeed on most of these ESPN radio stations. Quickly, Evan, while I've got you here, a couple of other football questions. For those who don't hear your show in the morning, and everyone should, on Sportsmanlike Coast to Coast every weekday morning here on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. Okay, Justin Fields, what should happen?
Well, I think that the Steelers is where it makes the most sense, although it seems like that's not really going to happen, right? It seems like the Steelers are just going to go as is. I think getting in that environment, in that winning culture, is where a player that has been a losing player, I'm not singularly blaming him, but factually he's been a losing player, it is best suited for him. But I'm going to come back at you with something, another one of my QB rules, kind of. There are no examples, not one in any recent memory, of a first-round quarterback that you could deem to have failed that is ever good on a second team.
All right, so I brought this up in our meeting this morning. And actually, Darius sent, you tell me if you accept any of these as contradicting what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this up. I said, are there people like this? And Darius, who does the research for GetUp, here it is. Quarterback second chances. Do you include Jim Plunkett? Now, I get it. That's a very long time ago.
Yeah, Raiders and Patriots.
Drafted first overall by the Patriots in 71. He was a losing quarterback in New England. People forget, he then went to San Francisco. He was a losing quarterback. I'm old enough to remember that. He played for the 49ers.
Well, then
it was
null and void.
And then wound up with the Raiders.
Second stop.
So you're specifying second stop?
Like, there's a flame-out element. Baker Mayfield flamed out in Carolina and then had to take, like, humbled himself and is his fourth stop now in Tampa.
All right, how about Alex Smith, picked number one overall by the 49ers, was awful. They were awful. Harbaugh got there, resurrected him. Now, he wound up getting beat out by Colin Kaepernick for that job and still went and had a nice run in Kansas City.
Did he fail in San Francisco the way in which Justin Fields failed in Chicago?
I think so. I mean, he was the first pick in the draft, and I don't think they had a winning season until Harbaugh got there.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing. He was the quarterback when they went to the Super Bowl before he got hurt. Was it like... Right?
But his first three seasons were comparably bad to Justin Fields.
Right, but then he got more years. But then he got more years after that. And
right.
He had a level of success that Justin Fields never
had.
Sure,
but Justin Fields has only played three seasons.
Right, and I'm not writing Justin Fields off. I'm saying he would be doing something that I've deemed, now you may have more information, that would be somewhat unprecedented.
Well, I asked the question, and so... Like, I mean, Brett Favre was picked in the second round by the Falcons of the 91 draft. He threw four passes for them in 91. He got traded to the aforementioned Ron Wolf and the Green Bay Packers. Jerry Glanville, this is how Jerry Glanville, who was the coach of the Falcons when Favre was there, wanted nothing to do with him, saying, quote, it would take a plane crash to put him in the game. Like, that's how much he hated Brett Favre.
The freezing cold take.
Yeah, that's why Jerry Glanville is leaving tickets for Elvis, and Brett Favre is in the Hall of Fame. So
literal, by the way. You know that?
Do those count?
Yeah. I think Ryan Tannehill would
he
be
He doesn't even know who Elvis is. Of course he doesn't know
I
that.
I think Ryan Tannehill would be a comp for
Did
Justin
he fail
Fields.
In Miami or just wasn't as good as you thought he was? He went to the playoffs.
And they also gave him a second contract. But that's the only decent comp that you can come up with because he was, for 2 years, a top 10 quarterback in Tennessee.
That would be him succeeding in Miami, though.
Right.
I mean, which is not what wound up happening in a significant way.
No, most definitely not.
Yeah. Like, I'm a Fields believer. okay? You're a Big Ten guy. I'm a Big Ten guy. We watched him.
Yeah.
He was too good in college to be this bad. He's been placed in the impossible situation. You were just talking about don't draft a quarterback. They drafted a quarterback only because they needed one.
Right.
Everyone was desperately trying to save their phony baloney jobs, failed miserably. Everyone got fired. It's been a disaster. I would posit that almost no quarterback could have succeeded in the circumstances he's been in, and he's still young. He literally turned 25 years old 2 days ago.
Wow.
So he's still more than young enough to have a big second act, and I believe he will. What should happen with Russell Wilson?
Okay, so I actually had been saying, which Dave Canales, head coach of the Panthers, has shot down. I thought he should go to the Panthers, as crazy as that sounds, because I think that they, like Bryce Young is a perfect example of what did not happen last year, right? Like he should not have played right away. Minnesota Vikings. If Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, I believe Russell Wilson should pay his own way, fly there and sleep outside of their facility and beg to play there because he could have monstrous numbers with those weapons this year. And I don't think that there's a better option. Plus, they could still draft a quarterback in the first round.
That's a good one. So Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, say. Russell Wilson bridges the gap to whomever they might draft in the first round this year.
Yeah.
And between now and then, Russell Wilson throws a bunch of touchdowns to Justin Jefferson.
And recoups his value.
And makes I don't mind it. More money the following year. I don't mind it either. Except if you're Minnesota, I don't love the idea of drafting a quarterback. Russell Wilson is not – I don't see Russell Wilson as a bridge quarterback. Like I don't see him seeing himself that way. And I could see that creating problems. I like that idea if you're Minnesota and you're going to trade out of that spot. If someone else wants to come up and take J.J. McCarthy or something like that, if he's still sitting there when the Vikings pick at 11. Either way, Evan – thank you for being a good sport, if not being easygoing. Unsportsmanlike every weekday morning here on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.